ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 10 to 13. The chapter is entitled Lord Rishabhadev's Teachings. We have text number 10 on the board. Please repeat. Hamse Gorau Mai Bhaktya Anuvritya Vichnaya Vandva Titikshaya Cha Sarvatra Yanto Vyasana Avagatya Chyanasaya Tapasa Iha Nivritya Hamse Goramai Bhaktyanuvritya Hamse Gorau Mai Bhaktyani Vritya. Please repeat. Hamse Gorau Mai Bhaktyani Vritya. Hamse Gorau Mai Bhaktyani Vritya. Vichnaya Tvanda Ditakshaya Cha. Vichnaya Tvandya Ditakshaya Cha. Vichnaya Tvanda Ditikshaya Cha. Naya Tvanda Ditikshaya Cha. Sarvatra chantor vyasana vagatya Sarvatra chantor vyasana gatvantya Sarvatra yantor vyasana vagatya Vata gantor vyasana gatvantya Chanasaya tapeshaha nivritya Chanasaya tapeshaha nivritya Chanasaya tapeshaha nivritya Hamse Gorau Mai Bhaktyana Vritya Vichnashnaya Dvanda Didikshaya Cha Sarvatra Yantor Vyashana Vagatya Chanasaya Tapashaha Nivritya I will read first the three other verses. Mat karma birmat kataya chanityam mat deva sangat gunakirtanan me nirvaira sampyo pashamena putra chihasaya deha gehatma bude ayatma yogena vivikta sevaya panendriya matya yena shakriya satriyak sachratraya pramacharyena sasvat Asham pramadena yamena vacham Sarvatra madbhava vichakshashena Jnanena vijnana virachitena Yogena dhriti udyama sattva yukto Lingam vyapuhet kushaloham akhyam Sorry, the last line again. Lingam vyapuhet kushaloham akhyam Word by word for the first verse. Hamse. Who is a Paramahamsa? Or the most exalted spiritually advanced person? Gurau. To the spiritual master. Mai. Unto me, the supreme personality of Godhead. Bhaktya. By devotional service. Anuvritya. By following Vitrishnaya, by detachment from sense gratification, Tvandva, of the dualities of the material world, Titikshaya, by tolerance, Cha, also, Sarvatra, everywhere, Yanto of the living entity, Vyasana, the miserable condition of life, Avagatya, by realizing, Chinasaya, by inquiring about the truth, Tapasa, by practicing austerities and penances, Iha Nivritya, by giving up the endeavor for sense enjoyment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramahamsa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like the seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities, who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems. Philosophically inquire about the truth, then undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you can completely control your life air, mind and senses. Have full faith in the revealed scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks, always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus, practicing Bhakti Yoga, you will patiently, enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego. Purport. In these four verses, Rishabhadev tells his sons how they can be freed from the false identification arising from the false ego and material conditioned life. One gradually becomes liberated by practicing as mentioned above. All these prescribed methods enable one to give up the material body, lingam vyapuhet, and be situated in his original spiritual body. First of all, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master. This is advocated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sri Guru Bhattashraya. To be freed from the entanglement of the material world, one has to approach a spiritual master. Dat vyanartaham sagurum evabhikachet. By questioning the spiritual master and by serving him, one can advance in spiritual life. When one engages in devotional service, naturally, the attraction for personal comfort, for eating, sleeping and dressing is reduced. By associating with the devotees, with the devotee, a spiritual standard is maintained. The word Madhava Sangat is very important. There are so many so-called religions devoted to the worship of various demigods. But here, good association means association with one who simply accepts Krishna as his worshipable deity. Another important item is Dvanda Diksha. As long as one is situated in the material world, there must be pleasure and pain arising from the material body. As Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, Tams Diksha Shva Bharata. One has to learn how to tolerate the temporary pains and pleasures of this material world. One must also be detached from his family and practice celibacy. Sex with one's wife, according to the scriptural injunctions, is also accepted as brahmacharya, celibacy. But illicit sex is opposed to religious principles, and it hampers advancement in spiritual consciousness. Another important word is vigyan virachita. Everything should be done very scientifically and consciously. One should be a realized soul. In this way, one can give up the entanglement of material bondage. As Srimadvacharya points out, the sum and substance of these four verses or slokas is that one should refrain from acting out of a desire for sense gratification and should instead always engage in the Lord's loving service. In other words, bhakti yoga is the acknowledged path of liberation. Srimadvacharya quotes from the Adhyatmad. Atmano vihitam karma vachachitvanya karmana kamsya cha parityago niriheti ahurottamaha. One should perform activities only for the benefit of the soul. Any other activity should be given up. When a person is situated in this way, he is said to be desireless. Actually, a living entity cannot be totally desireless, but when he desires the benefit of the soul and nothing else, he is said to be desireless. Spiritual knowledge is jnan vijnan samanvitam. When one is fully equipped with jnan and vijnan, he is perfect. Jnan means that one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, to be the Supreme Being. Vijnan refers to the activities that liberate one from the ignorance of material existence. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.31, Jnanam parama guyame yat vijnan samanvitam. Knowledge of the Supreme Personality of the Supreme Lord is very confidential, and the supreme knowledge by which one understands him furthers the liberation of all living entities. This knowledge is vijnan, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma jame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha vyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorchuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not upon leaving the body take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Reading the verse again. O my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramahamsa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like the seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities who are miserable even in the higher planetary system. Philosophically inquire about the truth, then undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you can completely control your life, air, mind and senses. Have full faith in the revealed scriptures and the Vedic literatures and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks. Always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus practicing Bhakti Yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalak Lakshmi Mitamdeyana Dasmai Chogaya Maha Vanchakalpa Grupasya Kripa Sindeva Chabarita Namma Vaniva Vaishnava Vina Murma Chai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatar Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I do not feel qualified to sit on this Vyasasana and to speak on this sloka, so I bless or ask all the senior devotees for their blessing so they can maybe speak something valuable. I would like first of all to thank you for your wonderful service. It always warms my heart to come back to Radhadesh. It's so nice to see the place so nicely taken care of, to see all the friends and the nice relationships. And also, of course, the deity is so nicely taken care of. It seems to me that I have never seen Radha Desh so clean and with such a pure atmosphere. I don't know if it's just my change from a place where we are still hankering to follow in the footsteps of Radha Desh, or if it's really the case. At least I have to say, for me, it's a wonderful experience. And it shows, of course, that you have a very steady, responsible management. And also, what appears every time I come back, we can see that here we follow a longer vision. There are no shortcuts. There are no things which we are doing just for short benefit. We are actually looking for something long term, and Radha Desh actually gives us this feeling. Krishna Das told me the other day that he had overall a nice experience in New Vrindavan, but when he came back to Radha Desh, he learned to know that he can appreciate much more what he has here. So I think that's really a glorification of the service you're all doing here. And he said he will in the future much more actually appreciate day to day what Radha Desh gives him. Coming back to the verse today, it's about 20 statements King Rishabhadev makes to his sons. And it may even be difficult for us in Kali Yuga to remind us of all the 20 statements and to be conscious constantly what he has said there. But Srila Prabhupada has given us such a nice procedure that we don't have really to care about the details what King Rishabhadev said, because he has summarized all this in his process. Means rising early, if you are in around the temple, actually participating in the morning program, chanting our rounds, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the Lord in the best way we can. So all this actually brings us to the different stages and levels King Rishabhadev mentions in his four slokas. And most of the instructions he has given are in fact the result of proper sadhana and dedication. Like example, the test sense gratification. We all know that we cannot do this the first day when we come to Krishna consciousness. It's a long process. We may be able first to do it on a more gross level, but we also have very subtle desires for sense gratification, and this takes a long process. And it's important for us that we can follow a process which helps us actually to be cleansed and to make steps forwards in our spiritual process. And my Guru Maharaj says that spiritual progress or spiritual development is not like the logo of the Deutsche Bank. I don't know if you know the logo of the Deutsche Bank. It's a square with a diagonal inside. So our spiritual process is not just starting on zero and going up to 10 or whatever the number may be. He says also spiritual development is not like the chart of actually a share at the stock exchange, going up and down constantly. He says spiritual life should be more like a spiral, which is going up, but on every level we are facing again the same problems, like our sex desires. It may be very gross at the beginning, but come on the subtle and subtle level, or our request for fame, recognition, or whatever other anarthas we have. On every level of the spiral, it gets more subtle, and it helps us to move forward. So all the instructions, actually, King Rishabhadev has given to his sons should help us to move forward in spiritual life, and finally, of course, develop our prema to Krishna and allow us to go back to Godhead. But as I said before, Srila Prabhupada has given so many nice topics: association of devotees, prasad, temple program, and many more things like the Vaishnava calendar, that we do austerities on Ekadashi or on festival days, and so on, which help us actually to move there. I would like to speak in the second part of the lecture a little bit more about another topic which I feel very much connected for the moment. Shishirade Gopinath Ghi Jai. And this is actually one of the seven purposes of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada has actually mentioned 1966 in New York. And number five of the purposes of ISKCON is to erect for the members and the society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. This is, of course, for me a connection between Vrindavan and Radha-desh, and I think both of us, we are trying or doing our best to erect this holy place, though that once the residents can make progress in the spiritual life, but second, of course, the society at large means all our visitors and the people around can take benefit and make progress in their spiritual life. This is, of course, true for all temples, but I think especially for places of pilgrimage where we have thousands of visitors and we have the chance to give them an impression for their life, for their spiritual life, when they come and visit us. And I think we can also apply what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once said. I could not find the quote, but I paraphrase, I hope rightly, that he said, if we are unable to make somebody Krishna conscious, then we are not actually able to be a guru, a father, a mother, or a teacher. And I think this is also relevant for us living in a holy dham. It's our duty to make other living entities Krishna conscious. And therefore, it's a big responsibility, actually, to live at the place of pilgrimage. Because, as I said before, we do not only care about our spiritual development, but it's the development of many others. And to be successful, I think we need a number of prerequisites. First of all, the place should be attractive, even if we are out in nowhere, but the place should present itself in a way that the materially minded persons, when they come by, they can feel some attraction, that they just not run away, they actually stay. Of course, it should be part that it's well kept and clean, and the devotees should be friendly, dedicated actually to take care of the guests, to give them a nice experience. And we, of course, would like to have, and for sure have in the place, is a spiritual atmosphere which the visitors can feel consciously or subconsciously that there is a sort of spiritual vibration in the place. And last but not least, I think we need the loving relationships. Vashana Maharaj in New Vrindavan says that the sankirtan of the devotees in New Vrindavan is actually the loving relationships. It's not going out there and distribute books. It's the way we can or are able to develop loving relationships. And when visitors come and they can experience this, this is the proof that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process or Srila Prabhupada's process is actually working. And this is finally the attraction, the main attraction for the visitors. So this is, of course, part of the atmosphere. And again, the question is, how can we develop these loving relationships? My Guru Maharaj mentioned in recent lectures at the Kirtan Mela that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said there are four reasons, motivations in spiritual life. And he said fear is the lowest level. Many religious movements are actually working on this level. You have to either do this or you go to hell. The second level, he said, is hope. Hope is to be transferred in a higher planet, which we sometimes find in parts of the Vedic scriptures, or is especially present in the Islam, where the warriors, they hanker for death at war because they are elevated to the heavenly planet where they can find wine and wives. The next level is duty, doing something out of dharma. We know that it's very honorable to do our service out of duty, and Lord Ram has shown us in perfection how he has done all his service just out of duty to show us how we could follow in his footsteps. But the highest level, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, is of course is love. Love for which we all hunger. And love, of course, we can experience, especially here when we see the deity so nicely dressed, the garland so nicely made, and many other topics, which is actually an expression of this love. And this, of course, is at the end of the day, again, the result of following Srila Prabhupada's process, following the four regulative principles, chanting the holy name nicely, attentively, having the association, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, get prasadam, whatever. This reduces our urges to have the for sense gratification, cleans our heart, reduces our needs for material things, for pleasure, and reduces, of course, or cleans our anarthas, or our heart, where we find our anarthas. And brings us slowly to the level where we hope, or at least I'm hoping, to one day be able to serve on the Raganuga Bhakti level, where we just do out everything of based on love, based on our attachment and our relation to the Lord. Actually, also King Rishabhadev's goal he has given us at the last instruction in these slokas. And of course, day to day we are facing a lot of troubles in the Holy Dhamma or outside. And I would just like to tell you one little story I have recently read from Giriraj Swami. He said once Swarup Damodar Prabhu, who later on became Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami, told Shriya Prabhupada, I have only a Bhaktivedanta Institute, but I have so many problems there and I'm struggling so much. How do you do that as you are actually managing the whole world of ISKCON? And Srila Prabhupada replied, problems? I do not see any problems. I only see service to my spiritual master. I think that's a very nice view of Srila Prabhupada, of course, that he sees whatever comes by, it's just a new chance to do service for his spiritual master. And if he can follow in his footsteps and see all our daily challenges in our spiritual life in this way, I think this is, of course, a great benefit. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada, he says, my principle was always everything for Krishna, nothing for me. And because that was my principle, everything for Krishna, nothing for me, I never had a complaint. And in the regards actually to develop loving relationships to with the devotees, I think it's important that we can understand that all the devotees, they're coming from a part where they have stopped in their past lives, and they have to go through different challenges, and they may do different things which are disturbing us. But Srila Prabhupada mentioned different categories of devotees to help us to understand this and to have a better view. He said in the lowest category, one will be one will find a slight discrepancy in someone's behavior and make a big thing out of it. In the next category, one will see both the good and the bad, but give more emphasis to the bad. And in the next category, one will see both the good and the bad, but give equal consideration to both. The more advanced devotees will see both the good and the bad, but give more importance to the good. And the highest devotee will see someone do a little service and make a big thing out of it. So if we try to remember this in our consciousness, this will help us to deal more properly with the devotees and trying to support that we can actually develop these loving relationships, because it shows us that there may be many other levels upon or higher than we actually are able to perceive, but there are ways to glorify devotees and to see their contribution in a way that it will help us actually to make our day-to-day life much more peaceful, especially in a temple or in a holy place like this, where we have so many interactions day-to-day and we are so close to each other that naturally we have disruptions different challenges to face every day. And we all know that, of course, especially in the Holy Dham or the temple, the challenges are big. I say for New Vrindavan, it's a boiling pot, and from time to time the pot spills over. So we get burned, and there we need actually an understanding of this spiritual process that we can actually handle it and be peaceful and go on with our service. And I would like to, in this regard, to repeat your little story from my Guru Maharaj. You may have heard it before, but it's such a nice one. I like it so much that I would like to share it with you. It's the story of the teacup. One young boy, he was actually quite inexperienced, and he developed a big desire for antiques. So whenever he was going to a city, he was trying to find some antique shops. And actually, after some time, he developed a special attachment to teacups, to pottery, and he started to have a collection of teacups. So one day when he was in Serbia, in a little town, he went to this little, small, old, very antique shop. And when he went in there, he found a little glass vitrine, and in there a very nice teacup, which seemed to have some Turkish influence. So he spoke to the owner and said, "Can I take out this? Can I have a look at this teacup? It seems that, yeah, this is a very special, has very special ornaments." And the owner said, "Yes, we had been under the government of the Turks, and we have taken out some, or over some of their cultural effects or qualities." And when the shop owner has given the teacup to the young man, the teacup started to speak to him and said, "I was not always like this. I was for millions of years laying on the ground. I was just a piece of clay. And it seemed to me that the whole history was going over me, centuries for centuries. But one day, my master came, and he took a bucket of clay. He took me to his home, into his workshop. And then he put me on his table, and he worked on me very strongly, knotted me. And it was so hard for me. I had so much pain." And they cried out, and they said to him, "Stop doing this. It's so painful." But he said, "Not yet. He worked longer on me, but as soon as I thought it's over, he took me on his spinning wheel. And you can imagine, I was spinning around. I lost practically my consciousness. And it was so hard, and I could practically not breathe anymore. So I was crying out, 'Stop this. Why are you doing all this to me?' But he said, 'Not yet.' And he made a form out of me and put me on his table and said, 'Oh, now it's over. I can take a break.' But that was only my imagination. He put me into an oven, and it was so hot in there. It was hot. I was getting so thirsty. I could not even speak anymore practically. And I said, 'I cannot survive this. What's going on? What is he doing with me?' And I was crying and crying, but I thought he will never hear me. But suddenly, I could see through this little window, and his lips said, 'Not yet.' And after some time, he took me out, put me on his cupboard, and I was breathing deeply. I was so happy to be in his refreshing air. And I said, 'Now it seems to be over.' But you can imagine, after some time he took me and put me again on his table, and he applied glaze on me, some colors. And this, you can imagine, this poison in these colors. I could not breathe. It was so difficult. I was hankering again for my breath, and I was crying out, 'What are you doing with me? Please stop this.' And he said again, 'Not yet.' But of course, once it was over, I said, 'Now it's gone, it's fine.' But you can imagine, it came the last part of all the exercise. The oven was even much hotter than before, and I had the same things as before. I could not speak, I could not breathe, and I had no perspiration because it was so hot. And I said, 'I will not survive this. I don't understand this. Why are you doing all this to me?' And I could see again his lips through his little window, and he said, 'Not yet.' But after some time, he took me out of the of the oven, and he put me onto his cupboard. And there again, I was taking breath, deep breath, and suddenly I was getting cold, and I could breathe normally. And after some time, he brought a mirror and showed me in the mirror. And he said to me, "Look, that's you." I said, "No, that's not me. I don't look like this." He said, "No, that's you. Can you understand now? If you would still be the clay and I would have not worked on you on my table, you would have still air in you and you would have cracked later on. If I would not have put you on the spinning wheel, I could not give you this form. And if I would not have put you into the oven, you would crack in the future if some hot liquid which would be put into you," and so on. So I could understand. This was a big process of learning, a process which also the young man could understand. In life, Krishna is arranging different things for us. The Lord is arranging things that we can make a step forward. As we all know, we don't make steps when everything is going fine. We need some challenges. And the boy could understand that the story of the teacup was actually telling me this. So he bought finally the teacup, and from now on, he was using the teacup to serve his Lord only. And whatever happened in his life, if some challenges would come by, he remembered the story. "Oh, this is just the way," as Srila Prabhupada said. "I see no problem. I see only actually occasions to serve my spiritual master." So he could understand. The young man could understand. These are the options I have to serve my Lord, to make steps forward in my spiritual life. I think it's a nice story we can relate to in our day-to-day life, when the boiling pot is spilling over and when we are challenged in relations to other devotees, in relations to our service, in relations to visitors. And the essence of my lecture should be that living in a holy place gives us a double responsibility. We have to develop our spiritual life. We have to develop ourselves based on King Rishabhadev's instructions or Srila Prabhupada's process. We have to take it very seriously and follow his process. Then he said once, if I'm right, after 14 years, we will make a big step in our spiritual life. At the same time, we do it not just for ourselves. We have a big responsibility for all the visitors coming, because there we can prove that Srila Prabhupada's process is functioning. We give them association. We give them an experience. And this is the start for many of them in their spiritual life, and we help them actually to come closer to Krishna sooner or later. But it will be a start for them. So this is the way we have to take care of ourselves and, of course, the holy place, so that actually we can take the responsibility. Thank you very much for your attention. Please comment or give any additional input to this locus, and if you may have any questions, I will try to respond as far as I am able to do so. Thank you very much. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.